Well, my name is Jefferson Lau, and I'm from the church in Columbus, Ohio. Praise the Lord. It's good to start the morning enjoying the Lord. We are in day four, page 11, in this morning revival series. So this morning, we'd like to get into the matter of practicing to read the Word in the way of life. What you enjoy in life? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Well, you know, every morning, who here has been enjoying the time with the Lord? Amen. Right? Time to just absorb God in the Word, to eat Him, to love Him, to thank Him, to praise Him. You know, our burden is this would not just be 1 week and then you go back to the old way, right? I hope that after this week, for the rest of your life, every morning we would treasure the time with the Lord Jesus. And I think even more, we would treasure the time to find the Lord in the Word. So every morning, you know, even wherever you go, you spend, you know, maybe in front of a wall or something, or in, you know, walking, and you have the Word of God with you, every day it's like you have a choice. You're brought back to the Garden of Eden. You know, in the Garden of Eden, there was two choices there. In the midst of the garden, there was the tree of life, and there's also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So what we like to see today is when we come to the Word of God, we need to take the way of life. But we also have to realize that the tendency is the way of knowledge. Okay? Because, you know, sorry to say, because of man's fall, how did man fall? By taking the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That is part of our fall. Whether you're a Christian or not, even the gangsters, they all have knowledge and they all know what is good and evil according to their own standard. Right? Even the gangsters, even the murderers, they have their sense of what is right and what is wrong. Right? So everybody's operating by that. And if we take the Word of God in the way of knowledge, guess what? We try to get some thought, you know, some knowledge into us and kind of try to understand it. You know, have you ever prayed? And I know I heard a lot of people, young people pray, Lord, I want to know more about you today. That's not bad. But what about, Lord, I want to eat you today. I want to be filled with you today. There's a difference. You can know about God or you can be filled with God. A very big difference, okay? And then what happens is when you take knowledge in, you know, the principle behind knowledge is independence. Guess what? You know, you're all in college. After you get your degree, you graduate, you are no longer dependent on the university because you got the knowledge already. You don't need it anymore, right? So the problem is many times we think we understand what this verse says, and you almost don't need God anymore. And then now you're in a mode of trying to be good, trying to behave according to what we understand, okay? I think our fellowship this morning, hopefully, we need to have a drastic change in the way we come to the Bible, right? You know, we've been enjoying the Lord, but still, you know, if we're honest, you don't need to raise your hand. How many of us still weak, still frustrated by a lot of things? You know, you go and you were, we're irritable, or we're easily offended, or we're just, our heart is so sticky, right? You know what? I'm in the campus, and I meet so many young people, and every day, it seems like, oh yeah, Lord, I want to know more about you in our appointments. And then, and inevitably, they start talking, oh yeah, you know, I can't overcome this, and I'm still this, and I'm still that, and can you please help me how to be more like that? You know what the problem is? You need to eat the Word. Amen. Don't just try to understand the Word. You need to eat the Word. You know, the principle of the tree of life is dependence. You know, Any biology majors? This is simple. What do you need to live? You need to eat. Well, first of all, most basic, you need to breathe. You don't breathe, you're dead within I don't know how many seconds, right? How many minutes. Then you need to drink, and you need to eat. So the way to take the Word of God in the way of life is to breathe, to eat, and to drink. Even the Bible itself says, right, in Matthew 4:4, the Lord was being tempted by Satan. The Lord says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. And even when the Lord spoke that, he actually quoted Deuteronomy. So he was eating that word. So when he was tempted by the enemy, that word came out. And that was his supply and his strength to overcome the temptation. Praise the Lord. What else does the word say in 1 Peter 2, right? As newborn babes, long for the guileless milk of the word, that by it you may grow unto salvation. If you have tasted that the Lord is good. It's much better than, okay, I think I understand this. You know. So when we take in the word, it's our food. It's our milk. And what else? 2 Timothy 3:16, right? What? All scripture is God-breathed. It's the breath of God. It's the spirit, right? Do we all eat breakfast this morning? I hope none of you went there and just studied the calories and how much calcium and how much protein, and you didn't eat. That's how we are with the Bible sometimes. Oh, wow, okay. But you didn't eat it. Don't study the food. You need to eat the food. Amen. You may not understand what it says, but when you eat it, you get it. Amen. And you know when you eat, it becomes your very constitution. You know, and you know, let's be honest. Sometimes morning revival, it's not like, woo, right? You will have that kind of time. Sometimes you will just be exultant, praising the Lord. But you eat breakfast and then, woo, every morning? Don't look for that. But you know if you didn't eat breakfast, then you're tired, you're grumpy, irritable, right? I know this brother that we met him a few years ago, and you know, trying to have appointments with him, and I found out he would take like 2-hour naps in the afternoon. And I'm wondering, what's your problem, you know? And then come to find out, he doesn't eat properly, physical food. So he's tired, he can't quite concentrate on his school, the grades are failing, and I'm wondering, what is the problem? He doesn't eat. So eating breakfast may not be exciting, but you know what? If you don't eat, you'll get weak, and eventually you will die spiritually. So I hope that we have this kind of view that when we come to the Bible, don't come just to know more about God. When you come to the Bible, we need to take the way of life. Amen. That is, we just enjoy Him, Amen. Contact Him, Amen. Breathe Him in, Amen. Drink Him. Amen. Be filled with Him. Amen. You may not understand fully, but you know, you go away and you're just full of supply for the day, right? And then eventually, this word will come back, right? You know, just a little short testimony, and I'll turn it over to Brother Leland. You know, from the training, I was enjoying the last verse of Jonah. It says that shouldn't we have pity on the people of Nineveh? Over 120,000, and they don't know their left hand from their right hand. Even the cattle, and I was enjoying that. That was like life to me. And I remember then one day we were at the table at Ohio State, and there was this atheist. That weekend he just attended an atheist convention. So he's loaded up. He's loaded up with weapons and missiles to shoot at me. And I'm here at the Christian table. He came up and he got one of our Twizzlers, you know, and a cookie. And he just starts talking. And I realized this person is full of himself. He's 20 years old. He's so arrogant, so, you know, this and that, and then talking. And I asked him, you know, why did you come to the Christian table? You know, and then, well, because, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, this is the last person you'd like our freshman to meet, right? But eventually that word came back. Should we not have pity? This person, 20 years old, does not know what his left hand is from his right. And my heart just went out to this person. He just came from Europe. You know, he's on his own. He doesn't have a place to live yet. But he has a scholarship somehow to go do culinary arts. And my heart just went out. So eventually the Lord wouldn't let me go. So this week I emailed him. Hey, I hope you find a place to live. Maybe we can get together sometime. If you need anything, let me know. I don't think he's ever been loved like that, ever, especially but not by a Christian. So, you know, when we eat the word, eventually the God will be manifested in the flesh spontaneously, amen, automatically. Amen. So may we enjoy, give ourselves to enjoy the word in this way.
Are you enjoying this training or what? Yeah. I am. Hallelujah! Yeah. Jesus is Lord. Yeah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. We can receive the Word of God, practicing to read it in the way of life. Something that I was touched by in my fellowship with the Lord concerning this is that our person determines how we will read this book. And it seems like, I'm not talking about different translations of the Bible. I'm talking about the same Bible being a different kind of Bible to different kinds of people. So my question this morning to all of us is, for the rest of our life, what kind of book will this be to us? To a pious person who wants to maintain his pious reputation, he'll find piety in this book. To a person who loves history, he'll seek history, he'll find history. For a person who's scientific, with a scientific mind, loves science, it'll be a book of science. For a lawyer, for instance, he'll see that it's a book of law, right, with all kinds of compelling arguments, especially in the book of Romans. For an honest person, you'll find honesty. For a liar, he can even find lies. For a person that's full of love, it's a book of love, right? For a person who's full of hate, he will find hatred in the Bible. So what kind of book will this be to us? If we merely take it, as Jefferson was pointing out, mainly reading these words with our eyes and exercising our mind, seeking better teaching, seeking more knowledge, and reading it according to our own preference and interest, it'll be of no spiritual value whatsoever. Furthermore, if we exercise the faculty of our emotion, you know, to have a soulish, exciting kind of feeling, a magical, religious fireworks display, it'll be of no spiritual value. And we find, actually, that we get no supply from this. As Jefferson was saying, we feel irritable, our heart ill-tempered. And actually, the more that we contemplate the Bible without God, even the more we're confused. And what we have in our hands is dead letter. Paul says that the letter kills, right? The letter kills. The letter can harm people. But it's not the letter in itself that harms people. It's the way people use the letter that harms them. If we're only using the faculty of our mind firstly and only, then it can become a knife to kill us. and then we use it to kill others. I was doing the dishes not that long ago, and my son, who's a little over 2 years old now, likes to help me out to unload the dishwasher. And he picked out a butcher knife. While my back was turned, I turned around. And, you know, immediately grabbed it. I was scared to death because of what is the potential of how he'll use it. He doesn't have the knowledge. He doesn't have the instruction of how to use it. He's negligent. He's irresponsible. He doesn't have the growth in life to handle it. So I snatched it before he harmed himself. This is the way that the letter can become to us if we're only using it with our mind. It can be a letter that kills, that harms us. So like Jefferson said, we need a drastic shift in our concept concerning what this book is. This book is God's word. It's the breath of life. It's God breathed out. It's spirit and it's life. It's God explained. It's God defined. It's God expressed. It's even God himself. So when we come to this book, this should be our attitude. This should be our motive to gain God himself, to eat him, to ingest him, to digest him, and to assimilate him, to take the word in as food, which is not a new teaching. It's not our invention. This is the part of the divine revelation as revealed throughout the entire scriptures, is that God wants to be food to us. And we can get this food by means of the word of God. Matthew 4:4, Jefferson shared, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out from the mouth of God does man live." Jeremiah 15:16, Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I ate them. Amen. Thy words became the joy and rejoicing of my heart." This should be our experience. The word must become the joy and rejoicing of our heart, our supply, our life, and our everything. This keeps us on the orthodox line of the church and even directly contributes to the building of the church as we grow in life by consuming the word of God as our food. So what do we need to use in order for the word of God to become our food? Are we becoming clear? We need to use our spirit. Amen. Our spirit is the instrument. It's the tool. It's the key. Are we getting clear in this training? I know that I am. When we turn our heart to the Lord and pray to him in spirit, reading the word, then it becomes food to us by mingling the word of God with faith. In the Hebrews in chapter 4, they were having trouble in the Christian life because they didn't mingle these words by faith, believing in these words to receive them. The result, when we mingle these words with faith, is that we gain more God. And we have the sense that we're inwardly refreshed, we're restored, we're enlivened, we're strengthened, we're bold, amen, and we're enlightened. We have light. So what does pray reading look like? I think that we saw this before from the brothers. The matter of prayer is the way we can mingle these words with faith, using our spirit. Jerome, in the 300s, church father, said, "Let us study the word, mingle it with prayer." Martin Luther said, anytime he felt cold in his heart toward God, he ran to his room, picked up the Bible, started speaking the word of God until the fire was rekindled within him, praying the words back to the Lord. George Whitefield in the 1700s said that if possible, over every line of the Bible, we should take in as meat and drink. So for an illustration, Genesis 1:1. Rather than coming to it and saying, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," what is the beginning there? God created. How did he do that? Where's the notes? Somebody give me a reference book. Right? We should turn our heart to the Lord Himself. Contact the living person. In the beginning.
Amen,
amen, Lord. Thank you. You are our beginning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's no beginning without you.
Amen.
Thank you in the beginning. God. Amen. Lord Jesus, you are our God. And do we have to shout? Created the heavens and the earth. Because sometimes, you know, you don't want to wake up people, right? If they're sleeping, you get up early. Anyway, we do this to contact the living person. And when we contact the living person, we get life. Amen. So this is what we want to practice this morning in your morning time. Pray, read the Word of God.